Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello, and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I'm Dave.
And I'm Shecky, and in our podcast, what we like to do is review movies that you can watch on your television set, whether it's on pay-per-view like we usually do, or HBO, or the Sci-Fi Channel, or maybe you even have a Netflix queue that you're constantly dipping into. We review movies that have been out of the theater for at least 3 or 4 months. Is that right, Dave?
For the most part, I would say that is true.
It was my week to pick, much to Dave's chagrin, and this week I picked
Harry Potter and a Goblet of Fudge.
No.
Harry Potter and a Goblet of Fire.
Right.
Exactly.
The other thing you were thinking of was Fatty Pneumonia. Fatty Pneumonia and the Goblet of Fudge.
Aha.
We watched Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And I got to say, right off the bat, when I picked this movie, Dave got a scowl. And he pretty much had the scowl on his face for the entire movie.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I tried to search my soul to determine why I was so prone to not like this movie.
Let me tell you something.
What the hell? I don't know what happened.
You had a puss on the second I said, let's watch this movie. You got the puss on, and then the Malton Minute came on the DirecTV, and I think that just pushed you over the edge. And you had this permanent scowl on your face for the next 2.5 hours. I wanted to poke you.
Well, you know how they say time flies when you're having fun? Well, I wasn't having fun.
Okay, let me just give a brief description. This is the fourth movie in the Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
In this movie, things happen and Harry and his friends have to conjure up some sort of magic to work things out. That's basically the premise of every movie. There's magic, there's Harry, there's Hermione, and there's Rob. And there's Snape and Dumbledore and all those other people. And I just... What?
Ron.
What did I say, Rob?
Yes.
Ron. And Ron's twin brothers.
Oh, that's what they were. I didn't know what the hell they were.
They're his older twin brothers.
I thought they were like in some rock band.
They look kind of like Peter Tork, don't they?
They did look Peter Torkish.
Peter Torkish. But what was the deal with the scowl? Was it the Harry Potter? Was it the fact that you've never seen a Harry Potter movie? Was it Leonard Maltin? What was it? Because it's annoying to me.
It wasn't Leonard Maltin. Although, all right, now, what is that? Leonard Maltin only reviews the movies that he deems reviewable? Why didn't he review, have a little statement before Rebound the other day?
Well, this is the thing. I think they probably pay Leonard Maltin by the movie. His Maltin Minute is by the movie. And I think some movies they're not going to spend the money on to have him review it.
All right, well, as much as I hate Leonard Maltin, if it's not worth him reviewing, I don't want to see it.
Really?
Yeah, because if they don't think it's worth it, then what is it even out there for? Let's use Leonard Maltin as the gauge. And any movie they don't deem reviewable, just throw away.
We didn't see a Maltin Minute with Serenity.
Well, then throw away the Maltin Minute. But don't just review some of them. What is that? Oh, you made the exclusive Maltin list? Fuck Leonard Maltin.
Well, the thing is with the Maltin Minute is that he doesn't really... it's kind of insulting. He comes on only on a few of the movies, and then he tells you how great the movie you're about to watch is, And he's so smarmy that you kind of like want to hate the movie because he's such a douchebag. Don't tell me I'm going to like this movie, Leonard Maltin. I just paid $3.99 to rent it from DirecTV.
Yeah, have your own Leonard Maltin's Groovy Boob Tube review. Yeah, then we can listen to your opinion.
Get your own podcast, Leonard Maltin, and get the hell off of my pay-per-view.
In the spirit of Al Goldstein, I'd like to say, fuck you, Leonard Maltin.
In the spirit of Al Goldstein? Is that the guy from Screw Magazine?
Yeah. What? And every week he'd have a show, or every day, I guess it was every week, he had a cable access show. And he would give out his fuck you of the week. You know, he'd be like, fuck you, George Bush, or fuck you, United Airlines, or whatever. And he'd do this whole spiel, and at the end he'd be like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah.
So okay, let me just have to...
And that was probably after he had interviewed, like, three people all naked. Him as well. Completely offensive.
Apparently you were watching.
Well, you know, you see a 50-year-old Jewish guy overweight, naked on a couch interviewing someone who's also naked, it tends to catch your eye.
And you could see all the goods?
I wouldn't classify them as goods, but you could see them. They were the beds.
Well, you were spending a lot of time in Manhattan as a younger kid.
Come on, Channel J, Midnight Blue. Early public access.
Midnight Blue. Well, I haven't watched that movie, but yeah, I would have to agree that Leonard Maltin is kind of like a bummer. I don't really want the Leonard Maltin minute. I don't know who.
Yeah,
they don't need it.
It's
unnecessary.
It's very 1982.
But the truth of the matter is that you're not really going to see Leonard Maltin unless you're buying the movie. You know what I mean? So at that point, it's too late, people. You've already bought the movie, so what? Leonard Maltin is not going to persuade or dissuade you from watching a movie.
Fuck Leonard Maltin.
But
all right, so that's not the problem.
When the Goblet of Fire started, what were your... I saw you writing fast and furiously during this movie.
All right, well, first of all, the movie was close to 3 hours long.
No, it was 2.5 hours long.
Really?
Yes. It had 22 minutes of... Not deleted scenes,
yes.
But little extras.
Well, I was just dreading the fact that it was close to 3 hours long. And then it was actually only 2.5. That 20 minutes it gave me there was actually a pleasant surprise. It was a very long movie.
But can I just ask you what the opening scene was?
The opening scene, they're going off to some sort of... They spun some sort of portal key or something.
This is where you're wrong. And this is why I'm asking you.
They're off in some portal or something.
No. In the opening scene, all throughout the first 2 or 3 minutes of this movie, you had your pen to the paper and you weren't even paying attention to the movie. And I was like, I'm watching the opening scene and out of the corner of my eye, I see you are not watching the opening scene. I see you writing down stuff and I'm thinking to myself, how can he be already so angry about this movie that he's writing stuff down that he's missing the opening scene? And that's why I wrote down, I gotta ask Dave about the opening scene.
Nam-yo-ho Wizard Co.
Yeah, exactly. You're so busy trying to be angry and writing clever, angry, bitter things that you're not even watching
man.
The movie.
What was the first scene, man?
It was this caretaker. He's making himself a pot of tea. He looks out his kitchen window and he sees that there's a light on in the house across the way. And he says, those kids. And he goes outside and he goes up into the house and he walks up the steps. And there's a meeting going on with Voldemort, and these other people.
The Nam-yoho Wizard Co. That's what I was talking about.
No, you said the opening scene was the portal.
Yeah. No, he goes up to that meeting and he says, "All right, kids, do this, blah blah blah." And then they go to that magic place where he's having a dream.
No.
I think it's a dream sequence.
Oh my God, Dave.
That's what I'm saying.
Harry isn't even in the scene.
The awfully English for mainstream Hollywood.
It's an they're the woman who writes
I can't understand
books.
These people very well. I wrote it. I cannot understand these people very well.
I could understand them well. I had a problem understanding it's hard out here for a pimp. I couldn't understand anybody in that movie. This movie I could understand them, but J.K. Rowling, who writes these books, is English. They're all set in England.
It certainly was.
It certainly was. What else is? What's your first note there? What was it that you were writing at first when you were missing the opening scene?
I wrote that Leonard Maltin is a snob. I wrote that to start the movie had everything going against it.
How does it have everything going against it?
All right, well, first of all, it's a sequel.
Yeah, but it's a Harry Potter.
Yeah, but, you know, and it's 3 hours long. This is a prime example of someone not able to get the story out in less than 2 hours.
But the book, I think, is like 700 pages or something.
Don't make a movie of the book.
The first thing that struck me in this movie, and it was kind of the same with the first one, but it was really dark. It was just shot really dark. And I have a hard time focusing on the picture when it's so dark. Did you notice that at all or no?
Yeah, there was parts. Well, first of all, the first scene was like some snake crawling through some sort of dark stuff. Wasn't that the first scene? A snake crawling?
Right. The snake came out of something.
Yeah, it was
crawled.
So dark. I couldn't even see it.
Everything was really, it's like really dark.
Did we mention it was dark?
But, I mean, that's my biggest problem with this movie. The other thing, though, I did notice, because you had never seen a Harry Potter movie,
mm-hmm.
which I find hard to believe because I watch them every time they're on, but you have never seen them. And this one, if you had never seen a Harry Potter movie, it would be very difficult to pick up on stuff watching this one, even though it was 2.5 hours long. I bet they cut out a lot of stuff of this movie. I bet it was much longer. But there, I could just, like, you know, Harry rubbing the scar on his head. You had no idea what he was doing. You didn't even know he had a scar on his head.
Nope, I didn't wear a scar.
You
scar.
Thought he had a migraine or something.
I don't know. I thought he was a weird kid. His glasses were too tight.
No, that's the thing. There's a scar on his head that he rubs every time this one guy's around. That's how he knows he's around. I mean, I was trying to watch it as if I'd never seen a different... another Harry Potter film, and
right.
It was kind of really difficult. So I did kind of feel bad for you, but it was hard to feel bad for you with you scowling over there the whole time. Like, when you pick movies, I don't sit and scowl at you.
I wasn't scowling. I tried to hide my head from you.
You did at some point try to hide your head, but you had a puss on.
Well, I don't know where to start or where to begin.
Well, let's go through your notes.
All right, well, you know, this is just like another one of those kids movies. How many, what, every movie we review is a kid's movie.
The Weatherman wasn't a kid's movie.
Oh, except for The Weatherman. Every movie we review is a kid's movie, except for The Weatherman.
Maybe it's all the movies we review that I pick.
Mm.
Maybe it's me. I like kid's movies.
Well, I like movies sometimes with kids too, but I don't know.
We don't seem to like the ones that aren't kid's movies too much, except for The Weatherman. And we like Dogtown and Z-Boys.
That was kind of a kid's movie, too.
What was it called, though, again? Dogtown?
Lords of Dogtown.
Lords of Dogtown. We like the George Romero.
True.
We liked the Thora.
Kid's movie.
But we liked it.
Right. Madagascar, kid's movie. Wallace and Gromit, kid's movie.
I think I'm picking all the kid's movies, Dave.
Fucking kid's movies.
I think I have an issue.
This is like Clash of Titans for the kids.
Clash of Titans.
These guys are the Clash of Titans over there. Clash of the Titans for the kids.
But Clash of the Titans was for the kids.
Exactly. This is really for the kids.
It had great special effects, didn't it?
It was special. It did have special effects.
It was special.
The effects were good. You know, we turned on Fever Pitch yesterday. I think I caught, you know, 3/4 of it. And I liked it 10 times more than this.
You didn't like this movie at all, did you?
I tried. I honestly tried.
Because you were scowling.
Half the time I was scowling, I was like, why don't I like this movie? Why am I scowling?
Because you're
scowling. And then I realized it was because Snape kills Diesel Dork.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Exactly.
But fucking not in this movie.
Snape, Dumbledore.
That happens in the Order of the Phoenix.
I like the English, but this is just maybe too English for me. I don't even understand how they show it in America.
Are you kidding me?
Those kids were goddamn... Talk about teeth.
What? Oof,
teeth issues. Teeth. Hello.
No
dentistry.
Dave, that is the... First of all, that is the worst and oldest British cliche thing
I
you
know,
can say.
But did you see
it's
the people?
It's not funny.
Did you see those people with those teeth?
One guy had bad teeth.
Was it one
and
guy?
He was supposed to.
Okay.
Those teeth were not real, Dave. He had shitty teeth because it was the prop department. Nobody in this film has bad teeth. You're just like an angry. See what happens? We sit down to watch a movie, and you already have a preconceived notion in your head that you're going to hate it, and so you just keep hating it. There was some funny moments.
I tried to like it at one point, but...
What point was that? What point did you almost like it?
I almost liked it when he started to fight the dragon. And then I didn't like it.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
The dragon was really scary. Wasn't it well done?
The dragon was done all right. It was... Yeah, the dragon was good.
Oh, my God. You just did not want to like this movie.
Yeah, this was a rough one.
You didn't give it a half a chance. Now, I've read some of your other notes. Can you just go through your other notes, please? Please, go ahead.
All these kids' movies?
Yeah, we already did that one.
I can't understand these people very well.
You did that one. I know there's more.
Angel is much better.
Angel is much better. I think after the movie, you looked at me and you said, I'd rather watch a half a season of Angel in a row than watch this movie.
Definitely.
Why because you bring up the
stories are more interesting. The characters are more interesting. There's, you know, it's more adult humor. It's more relevant humor. This is like some kind of like English kids fucking fantasy story that I just can't get into.
You're not a sci-fi guy.
I am not a sci-fi guy, but I like Angel.
But you're not a fantasy guy.
Angel's sci-fi, isn't it?
No. Angel's like fantasy.
Oh, meet that David Boreanaz.
He is more like a fantasy.
He's a fantasy. Maybe your fantasy. He's not my fantasy.
Dave Boreanaz.
Okay. What's Charmed?
Charmed is also fantasy.
Whoa, then I like fantasy, dude.
Yeah. But then you should like Harry Potter.
This was not fantasy.
And the Goblet of Fudge.
It's too kidded up. Kidded up. They need to make it rated R. They need to cross this movie with Heavy Metal. The movie Heavy Metal.
The cartoon?
No, the actual movie of the cartoon. Yeah, the animated movie. They got to get some naked women in this thing or something.
Oh,
like, this
David.
Is not happening.
This is a kid's movie.
Exactly. But
did you not know that going into it? Did you not realize that it's based on a series of kids' books?
Okay.
Did you not know that, though?
I did know that. I did know it.
So what?
But there's plenty of kids' movies that I like. I liked Madagascar. That was funny. That was good.
And Zathura.
That was good, too.
So why did you like Zathura? You like Zathura better than this, obviously.
Yeah, this... Well, yeah, yeah. This movie, nothing happens for an hour and a half. He gets elected to fight a dragon. It's an hour and a half, and he barely has done one thing. It's a very slow-moving movie.
It is, you know, and the funny thing, that Maltin Minute in the beginning of the movie, he says it's the best of the Harry Potter movies, and you know what? It wasn't. Not for me, anyway.
Ugh.
I like The Prisoner of Azkaban better.
Look, this was a better movie than Martin Lawrence's Rebound.
Well, that's the movie we were planning to watch, or that we did watch for the last podcast that never happened, was Rebound. I have voice problems, and so we couldn't do a show, but we had watched Rebound anyway, and it's a Martin Lawrence movie, and it was pretty awful.
Crapola.
It was shit-tastic.
Some movies attempt to actually, like, be good. Some don't. That one just didn't attempt anything.
Well, Rebound was kind of like Bad News Bears with basketball, right?
Basically, yeah.
But without the funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it had one or two, like, laughs in it, but mostly it was really embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, I mean, it was about a washed-up coach, but that's a word.
Well, he wasn't even washed up. He had just, you know, he had said something inappropriate or done... Oh, he killed... he killed an eagle or a hawk mascot or something. Was it a
falcon?
A falcon. He killed another team's mascot by accident, and so he got suspended or... whatever. But I mean, it was just all like, it was just really horrible. It was just really bad and not funny and totally predictable. And it was just crappy. I mean, I'm glad we didn't do a show on it because there wasn't really much to talk about. There wasn't like any funny moments, you know.
Yeah, that's one you got to just
avoid rebound.
Bite the bullet and pick another one.
Yeah, exactly. Like we had to do with Bad News Bears, but at least Rebound we could watch all the way through. The Bad News Bears with Billy Bob Thornton, we couldn't even watch it all the way through.
That was bad news.
It was really bad news. That was maybe the worst movie we started watching on. Have we ever turned another one off?
Yeah, I think we have.
I know we contemplated turning off It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp a few times, right?
Yeah.
I just kept looking at each other.
Didn't we turn something else off, though?
Did we?
Oh, well, we tried to do Wrath of Khan. That wasn't very successful.
Yeah.
Not that it's not a good movie, but...
You just can't... There's not really much to talk about.
Maybe if it had just come out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty... That one's pretty cheesy. The Wrath of Khan.
So Angel's much better than this.
Well,
so
that's
is
Joss
Charmed.
Whedon, though.
It's Joss Whedon.
Charmed
it's got
isn't.
Prue. which leads me to every school has a date rape jock type.
Yeah, I couldn't believe we're watching this children's movie... We're watching this kid movie, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, and a character comes on the screen, and you're like, yeah, he's the Robert Chambers of that school. He's going to date rape somebody. I was like, that's not going to happen. It's Harry Potter. There's no date raping in Harry Potter movies.
And then what's happened? He dates the girl. He's the one who goes with the girl. What did I tell you? See, that's, yeah, sure, on the outside, it looks great. But I'm telling you the story that goes on after they start going together.
You say that...
That fucking creepy sadist.
You're saying that Victor Crumb, at some point, has date raped Hermione.
And that whole Hermione name, that sounds kind of weird and sexual, too. I don't know what that's about. It sounds like some kind of sexual organ.
Hermione?
Hey, take it easy. Can you say that?
You are so out of your mind.
It's
Dave.
Either an organ or a disease from sex.
Hermione?
Hey, you got to get a cream for that.
I think that's a more common name in England than you think.
You got to get a cream for that. Hermione's over there.
Stop it.
What?
Stop it. Stop it. There's nothing wrong with Hermione.
She was like a poor man's Padme.
Now, Padme.
Exactly. Pad Thai.
You are not a sci-fi guy, and you only are sometimes a fantasy guy.
I think I am a fantasy guy.
You do like...
What other things are fantasy?
Anything with like a dragon or like magic.
But this had dragons and magic. It just
That's
didn't
what this
have
is
Prue.
Fantasy.
There's no Prue.
Oh, see, so it's this would have been more successful if Prue was in it.
I think so.
Prue from Charmed.
Most likely.
And she could have came in with the Book of Shadows.
They needed a Book of Shadows. They needed a cat who turns into a grandmother. And they needed Joss Whedon.
Well, I think every movie could do with a little Whedon.
This movie, it was far-fetched.
Well, it's a fantasy movie.
I know, but it was just like... It was, you know, basically, look, at any point that you can't make sense of something, you just got to figure it's like either a dream scene, fantasy, or English.
What?
It's like, okay, it's English. I can't understand what they're saying. So half the time, it sounded like a goblet of fudge.
You really couldn't understand what they were saying?
I had to work. Towards the middle, I started getting used to it, but a lot of it was just like, it was discernible.
Really?
Yep.
Indiscernible?
Exactly, that too. Yeah, I was trying to act nonchalant, but I could act chalant if you want me to.
Oh, boy. Let me see what my notes are. My first note was that the kids looked a little older than the ages they were playing.
Yeah. How old is that Harry Potter? He looked about 17, 16.
Well, the truth of the matter is, after the credits stopped rolling and they played the, it's called Pop Goes the Movie.
We should have just watched that.
I did watch that. But you ran away. You couldn't get away from the screen fast enough. But it said that when they started filming the movie, Harry was, Daniel Radcliffe was the same age as Harry Potter. They were both 14. So they're just kind of like early bloomers, I guess. I mean, I don't. They started filming, I think, in 2004, and he was 14. But the other kid, what's his name, Ron?
Dim. They don't call him Tim no more.
You're an ass. How
okay,
about that?
Okay, Ron, yeah.
Ron,
the redheaded
kid. At one
kid.
Point, like, if you just see Ron's face, he looks very babyish, but at one point they showed him, like, laying in bed with, like, a tank top on, and he's, like, got these muscles on his arms, like he's, like a sailor or, like, a merchant marine or something. He's, like, huge. So they didn't show that too often. They just showed, they tried to show close-ups on his face. And Hermione looks... She looks fine. She could be anywhere between 14 and 17, really. But the boys are starting to pop out. They're starting to become men. So I don't know what they're going to do.
I just think they look like they were going to join the Rolling Stones at any moment.
What? What?
The redhead kids, they're all like fucking... They look like Brian Jones or something.
Did they?
They're all fucking Rolling Stoned up. Remember, though, they look like they're about to join the New Faces.
You are something else, aren't you? The other thing I wrote down was that I'm kind of impressed with kids that are reading these books. I mean, back when we were younger, there weren't these huge, enormous books that were coming out that we were into.
Mm.
I mean, can you remember anything that, any books when you were like 11, 12, 13, that people, you know, that you and your friends were waiting in line to get?
No.
There was nothing like that.
No, people don't do that unless it's like the 1920s.
What?
People used to do that back before the radio.
The kids would wait for books like that? I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so. The only books I remember...
Maybe not.
When I was little, the only books I was really into were the Madeline L'Engle books. Like A Wind in the Door, A Whisper in Time, or A Wrinkle in Time, and
right.
Swiftly Tilting Planet, and all those books.
Yeah, but you're not waiting in line to get them.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm really kind of impressed with these little kids that are like waiting in line for these 800-page books, you know, and reading them and just like voraciously reading them. I think that these books have probably done a lot for little kids in reading. So I'm impressed with the books.
Yeah.
And I think that this movie... I bet the book is so much better than the movie. I mean, the movie was okay. It was pretty good. But if you hadn't seen, especially, there was a lot of, like, Azkaban references. If you hadn't seen that, I think you were kind of in the dark. I think they just assume, you know, some sequels don't assume you've seen the first one, and they'll at some point give you a rundown of what's happened so far. But since there's three movies prior to this one, I guess it would just take too long to give the rundown, but...
Three movies prior to this.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, and Prisoner of Azkaban.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do.
I really thought that they were gonna make it so you could just watch it. And, you know, I think that might have hurt the cause for you.
Oh, it's just, I couldn't get lost in the fantasy. I don't know, man. It was just like... It was a drag.
Wow.
It was a drag, man. It was a bummer. I was like bummed out, man.
Well, next week is your week to pick, so.
It's like watching this fucking movie, man. It's like a fucking drag.
Jesus.
Drag.
Well, I think we've discovered that I'm picking the kids' movies.
Well, I like some of the kids' movies.
Well, but I'm picking them. I'm picking them, and you somehow sometimes like them and sometimes don't, but you're not picking the kids' movies.
Well, that's probably true. Wait, have I picked the kids' movie? Did I pick Zathura? I think I did, but that was because you told me to.
I know, I told you to pick Zathura.
I picked Zathura because there was nothing better to pick, and you were like, let's watch Zathura.
Yeah, see.
So, well, Zathura was good because it's John Favreau, and I've told you what I think about him. And what if you don't like him, what you can do with yourself.
So John Favreau and Joss Whedon are both top of the list for you.
Yeah, they do good work in a completely different way.
You do good work.
They do good stuff. You know, I'm not a sci-fi guy. I take my dinner with Andre, the giant, over this.
I loved My Dinner with Andre. That movie is, like, insane.
I'll take the movie Diner. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I've seen Diner. That's the one with Mickey Rourke and Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff. It's acting. It's old school acting. And if you want some funny acting...
Old school?
You go watch Meet the Fockers, all right?
Just Meet the Fockers.
Watch Meet the Fockers. It's much better than any of this crap. I don't care what anyone says.
Let me just say, on HBO right now, they're playing Meet the Fockers a lot.
If you haven't seen it,
best sequel ever.
Just watch it.
Isn't it the best sequel ever?
Well, it's very good. I'm against sequels. I like a movie to hold up on its own. This movie holds up on its own. Fockers does.
The Fockers does. That movie, you know what? The truth of the matter is that you haven't really seen Bab Streisand in anything that doesn't seem somewhat pretentious in the past.
That's the best thing she's ever done.
I think this is the best role she's ever played was Mrs. Focker.
Yeah.
If you have HBO, you need to see Meet the Fockers. It's just, it's ridiculously funny and totally embarrassing. And it makes you cringe and you're just like, oh my God. And it just doesn't stop. See, the first movie, Meet the Parents, was good up till about an hour in, and then it kind of nosedived.
It got real sappy cheeseola.
It got too, yeah, it got too romantic comedy on us.
Something happened.
But in Meet the Fockers, I just think from the very beginning to the very end, it's just hilarious. You know what movie I saw the other day?
What's that?
Talking about sci-fi.
Very interested in sci-fi.
I was watching, because when Tom Cruise's War of the Worlds came out, the Spielberg War of the Worlds, who had been another War of the Worlds in production, I think over in England, I'm not entirely sure where, but it was...
Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about.
They were being shot, I think, at the same time in this other War of the Worlds, had C. Thomas Howell in it, and they were playing it on the Sci-Fi Channel Friday night.
You gotta love C. Thomas Howell.
You really don't have to love C. Thomas Howell.
I love C. Thomas Howell. I loved The Hitcher. I like all things Hitcher.
But if you like C. Thomas Howell so much, how come you didn't stay and watch the movie with me?
Well, this is what happens. Life calls. You have duties in life you gotta do. Things you gotta do. I had to make the donuts.
You had a few things to take care of.
I heard some things, and I had to do some things. I was over there doing some stuff.
Okay, well, I watched The War of the Worlds. I guess it's entitled H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds.
I tuned in and out.
Yeah, it was awful. I was so upset because I wanted it to be okay.
It was just horrible.
Well, you know what?
Trash.
You know it's bad when it's C. Thomas Howell and it's Jake Busey.
Oof.
And it's Peter Green.
Oof, oof.
I mean, come on.
Peter Green, Jake Busey, that's bad. C. Thomas Howell I can deal with.
You know what? Peter Green is not horrible, but he was in a film where there was so much bad acting, and then he has this death scene that his death scene is so over the top as compared with all the other acting that it stuck out like a sore thumb. Now, maybe if he was in a movie where everybody else was acting decently, it wouldn't have seemed like a red flag. But you know, I can't take the Buseys. I can't take the Buseys. And Jake Busey in particular is just, I don't even know why anybody hires this guy. As soon as you see that Jake Busey is in a movie...
Yeah,
you shouldn't even watch it.
You got to set your standards low at that point.
It's awful. And he's just horrible. And the movie is just... I just wanted it to be okay. And it wasn't even okay. It was just... And I don't know if... See, it also seemed like there was shit being cut out of it because it wasn't very... there was like time missing at some point. So I don't know if Sci-Fi Channel cut it down.
Didn't the sound just drop out randomly here and there,
well,
too?
Well, I think they were just, you know... taking out words like, you know, like fuck or shit or something,
you know.
But I think, you know, for a 2-hour movie on Sci-Fi Channel, actually that's, you know, comes out to like maybe I think 85 minutes of real movie, so I'm sure the movie was probably longer than that, and so they just I think randomly cut out scenes out of it. And I think they made a probably what was just an okay or maybe kind of bad movie into a really horrible movie by doing that. But the acting, I was really disappointed because I wanted the other version of The War of the Worlds to be good.
Hmm.
I wonder how
the one with Tom Cruise is.
Did you just call him Thom Cruise?
Because, I wonder how the one with Thom Cruise is.
I don't know Thom Cruise. I'm not familiar with his work.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thom Cruise, Tom's weirder brother. Thumb. He was born on an ashram, and he's over here now.
He's over. Thom Cruise. Oh, that was awful, Dave.
He was supposed to be in Taps, but they found his brother Tom instead, and the rest is history.
I have not seen the Thom Cruise version of War of the Worlds, and I think I refuse to. I don't want to give money to anything that he's involved in. Because somehow it validates his existence. And I don't think his existence should be validated.
Which leads me to the last episode of South Park.
The last one that we saw.
Oh, that wasn't the most recent one?
Yeah, but you were like the last episode of, it's not the last.
The last episode of South Park, if I can have anything to do with it.
like there was like a doom or something involved with it.
The last episode that we played was quite hysterical.
With Minj and Gary?
I think they're roasting Oprah because she likes the Scientologists so much.
Yeah, I don't understand what her deal is with Scientology. I would really love to know.
I think she's a closetologist.
Do you think she is?
She may very well be.
But see, I don't think Scientology would stand for her being a closet Scientologist because I think they really want to push that message. So I don't think they would stand for her to be being a closet one.
Maybe Stedman's a Scientologist.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, maybe Stedman.
He is like a weird self-help guy.
Does he have banana hands?
I think he has banana hands.
Is Tony Robbins a Scientologist?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Drat.
I don't think
there goes
is.
My theory that you must have banana hands to be a Scientologist.
You don't have to.
Or at least banana fingers.
Tom Cruise does not have banana fingers. As a matter of fact, he's like a midget.
Thumb Cruise.
He's all thumbs. He's got little thummy fingers.
Like Lisa Simpson.
Oh, we're all over the place today, Dave. But what you wanted to talk about, Minj and Gary from the South Park?
You could talk about it. I'll throw some stuff in.
You brought it up, Dave.
It's true. It's ingenious.
I think those South Park guys are ingenious.
Yeah.
I think they are just hilarious. I think
I don't even want to get into it. It's too absurd.
You brought up Minj and Gary.
It's true.
Anyway, they parodied Oprah. And not even Oprah, but just certain body parts that are below the waist. And gave them the names of Minj and Gary. And Gary was the one in the back.
And they had funny English accents.
It was ridiculous. I don't even know how they come up with this stuff. They must get really high and sit in a room and just, you know, have a hat filled with ridiculous statements on it, and they just like stick their hand in the hat and pull it out. I mean, who thinks of the name Minj? You know, Minj and Gary. What the hell? That's fucking hilarious.
I have no idea. It's completely over the top, off the hook.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Because we didn't really even talk. What would you give Goblet of Fire on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd have to give it a 6.
Wow. That's what you give the animal.
Really? I thought I'd give the animal a 7. I'd have to give this a 5 then.
Wow, you really did not like this movie.
There's what about it would I like?
It had beautiful special effects.
That's good for about 20 minutes.
You are just not. You're not going to cut this movie any slack, are you?
I'm telling you, Fever Pitch is a much better movie.
And we didn't even watch all of Fever Pitch.
We came in
towards like maybe the last two-thirds of it. That's with Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, and what a sappy setup that was. You know, you expect that to be a bunch of crap. But I'm telling you, it had more in it than this movie.
I didn't love Fever Pitch. You know what? I liked 50 First Dates with her and Sandler.
That's true. That was a good movie.
But you know what? I got to say, being a Yankee fan for most of my life, I'm not going to like a movie that's
about the Sox
glorifying the Red Sox, so I'm sorry. I can't. I did not like Fever Pitch because of it.
Well, it was better than Taxi.
I couldn't even watch that.
Yeah.
That movie. Queen Latifah makes the worst movie decisions of any actor. And I don't know if she's just doing it because she's like, well, fuck it, I'll get a paycheck.
You know, she's a horrible rapper, a horrible actress, and she's a good singer. And that's what she does the least of.
The singing?
Yeah. She can sing. And that's all I'll say about her.
What was her, did she have like a famous rap song? Like, what made her famous? What was
UNITY.
What?
UNITY.
UNITY? Unity?
Unity.
Are you kidding?
You ain't a bitch or a hoe. UNITY. That kind of shit.
Are you kidding? I don't even know that song.
UNITY.
Was it a video that was popular or something? Is that what happened? This was another MTV thing where the video was good?
No. She just somehow was like got in on the female rapping thing. She got in like on the salt and pepper tip. And like somehow she had this name that made it seem like she was like, you know, cool. Queen Latifah.
You think the name did it?
Yeah, that had a big part of it, I'm pretty sure.
Huh?
And she had, you know, one or two catchy songs, but
I don't know any
of
her songs.
She's like the Rosie O'Donnell of, you know, rap. I don't like her.
Oh, you don't like her?
No.
You don't?
I think she's a horrible rapper and a horrible actress.
But you think she can sing?
She sings the best out of all those three things.
Like just regular singing?
Yeah.
Like standard singing?
Funky kind of.
What have you heard her sing?
She had that one thing. I saw her on Saturday Night Live. She hosted Saturday Night Live. She sang. She sang better than I expected. She's like soulful.
Right.
She can sing, you know. She's not a great singer. She's an enigma.
Watch it.
She is. I don't understand her.
Okay.
I don't understand how she made it.
There's a lot of people out there like that you just don't understand. David Arquette. Right?
Yeah.
How does he make it? How does he do it?
It's probably because he's part of the Arquette family.
Do you have a favorite Arquette?
It'd have to be Rosanna Arquette, of course.
Exactly. I think she's the only Arquette worth liking. Except for what's the other one? The one that's a cross-dresser or a...
Alexis Arquette.
I don't know enough about Alexis to
cast the vote.
To say I don't like him or not, or her.
It.
No.
How about just
Dave.
Er.
No. There are people out there whose souls were born into the wrong physical body.
I don't got any problem with her or
do
him.
Do not call him an it.
Well, what do you call it?
Well, I'm asking...
What do you call her or him?
Has he or she had the operation?
I don't think so.
So then it's a he.
Okay. I see. Even though he has huge female breasts.
Does he have a penis?
Does he or she have a penis? I think so.
Well, if he has a penis... Well, the truth of the matter is, it's whatever he decides.
Exactly.
I mean, his name is Alexis, so maybe he should be called her.
Let's keep him out of the female bathroom, especially at the schools, all right? Otherwise, we're okay.
I would have no problem with a man with a penis who thinks he's, you know, would rather be called her going into the bathroom.
That's fine.
Yeah, well, women have stalls anyway.
True.
So it's not really a big thing.
I know. I'm just being an ass.
Oh, well, that's a surprise. So
one out of 166 kids are diagnosed with autism. Did you realize that?
I did realize that.
What the fuck is that? Can you imagine?
What? Can you just tell me where this came from? I mean, what? Why are you talking about this?
Because...
Does it relate to the Arquette family at all?
The Arquettes are retarded.
No, they're not.
David Arquette has autism.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. He's retarded.
He may be slow.
He's out to lunch.
Why are you talking about autism like that? One out of 166 kids.
I don't know. Why?
I mean, that's a devastating...
Why did that pop into my head?
I don't know.
One out of 166.
Yep.
Isn't that like an epidemic?
That might be. I think it's, you know, I think it's the shots, but, you know, let's not start that.
Okay.
This isn't that kind of show.
Hey, take it ish.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say?
I can't wait till the next one.
Okay. Dave actually has nothing else to say, as you can tell.
Oh.
Dave, you're starting to just spout out stuff.
All right. This movie may be good for the kids, but it wasn't good for me.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, I would say on a scale from 1 to 10, I would give it, I don't know, 7. It's not the best one in the series as far as I was concerned.
Wow. Okay. There we go. There we have it. See, if you had given it a 9 and I had given it a 5, I would have thought there was something severely wrong.
With you?
No, just in general. But you gave, yeah, with me. Maybe I was just being overly bitter. But clearly, if you've only given this a 7, and I can see why I'm just giving it a 5 at the most.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, it was, if you've watched the other movies, you were able to figure stuff out. If you'd read the books, I'm sure you were you know, it was even better for you. But if you were Dave and had never seen a movie and never read one of the books, it was completely, you got completely lost. You didn't know why Harry was grabbing his head. You didn't know any of that stuff. And, you know, it was, I could see he was struggling, but he also, like I said, from even before it started, you were pissy. You didn't want to watch it. So you were never going to be good about it. And it was kind of fun watching you squirm through 2.5 hours of Harry Potter.
Well, look, if you're like a 12-year-old kid, I think you might like this movie. And if you're a 12-year-old kid and you're listening to this show, get your parents in the room and get off the computer. Because we're obscene.
Dave.
We curse. We're cursing over here.
I'm editing all this stuff out.
Whoa.
It's just not funny.
Okay. Dictate it up. Go ahead.
All right. We'll be back next week. Until then, we encourage you to visit daveandshecky.com.
Come on down. We'd love to see you.
We'll see you next week.
Who you calling a bitch?